We shared out our walk the other day, day before yesterday to be exact. We started seeing all of these trees that had been touched by the windstorm that came through. And there was one in particular that had, I guess, about 25% of its limbs had been just broken loose somehow from the tree, and they were just hanging there, and the leaves had already turned brown on them. It's such a contrast to the green leaves all around them. It just reminded me that, that's kind of like what we see here in the story that Jesus tells today about the vineyard. I mean, not the vineyard, about the vine. Him being the vine and us being the branches. That there are some branches in the vine that are dead. There's some that have no life in them. They're in the vine, but they're not attached well. They're just in there hanging around. And that's kind of like the church is sometime. There are people that are in the church, but being in the church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car, you know? Anyway, this is just it. And so and Jesus is very emphatic about us bearing fruit. And so this ties in. I know I'm deviating a bit from the series that we're in. Today was supposed to be about judgment. But I think there's somebody here that needs to hear this specifically about checking the connection. The Lord gets down to the most important thing in this passage that he gives, in this parable. And that's the connection we have to him, because he tells his disciples later, he is the vine. And so our question this morning is, are we abiding in him? And that's the difference between just being there and being connected, is abiding. And it makes all the difference in the world. Many, many years ago, whenever the Amazon was opening up for logging, before it got so horrible and everybody was out trying to save the rainforest and stuff like that, this is just when that got going, that there were somebody had the bright idea that what they needed to do was to build a sawmill where they were cutting the trees, because whenever they would get these big logs way off in the forest, lugging them, conveying them through the jungle to the boat to be carried off was a big problem. And they got the idea that it would be a lot easier to bring the lumber out instead of, and have a sawmill there where they were logging, instead of dragging the logs all this great distance. And so they got on that, and they built a generator plant on the river itself. It was a portable plant on the river, so they could just go up and down the river and just run a power line to wherever they were cutting the logs. And they were going to be able to move the sawmill around too over a period of time. But they got the sawmill all up and ready to go. They had the line run. And this was a new, novel thing that they'd done. And they were all ready. And they had the logs there ready to saw. And they poked the button. And there was no power. The sawmill just sat there. Blades didn't turn, nothing. And so an electrician checked, and there was no power to the sawmill. And he had checked where they plugged it in, And so they sent a word back by telephone or somehow to start the power up, send the power. And the response came back, "We're sending the power." And they couldn't, so they wound up checking the whole line just to make sure that something hadn't happened. And finally somebody wrote them back or called them and told them, check the connection. When they got to the breaker box, right where the power line was, the junction box where the power line came in and hooked up to the sawmill, nobody ever connected the wires. And so there was no power. Without any power, that sawmill was worthless. It got nothing done. And so it is with us. And just imagine, this sawmill was built for a purpose. This sawmill was put in that place to accomplish a specific thing. And that's the way you are. God created each one of you with a purpose. He created each one of you to make a difference in this world, in this time. It makes no difference how young or how old you are. God has a purpose for you right now. And so, and it doesn't make any difference your ethnicity or your family background. God took all that into consideration to make you who you are, where you are, to bloom for Him right where you are right now. God don't make no junk was the title of a book a long time ago, and that's true. You are important to Him, and you are somebody in God's eyes. But you can't be who He created you to be, disconnected from Him. And so this is just it. There are a lot of people that are sitting in churches or wandering all over this globe, right where they are supposed to be, created with a purpose. And they're missing out on the true life that the Lord has for them, because that connection has either never been made or it has been severed. You know, we wound up long, from when I was about Isaiah's age, I wound up, we got an electric lawnmower. And this is back in the 50s, you know, in the dark ages, while the dinosaurs still roamed the earth. But we still had to cut the grass because the dinosaurs didn't cut it short enough. So it didn't eat it short enough. So now we did have cows grazing our yard from time to time. But we wound up with this electric lawnmower, but it had a cord, a long, long cord. And you had to mow the grass and look out for this cord all the time. So you'd mow a row, and then you'd have to flip this cord. You'd try to do it in the right way so that the cord wouldn't get in the way. I remember one time I didn't pay attention to the cord, and I ran over the cord with a lawnmower, and I severed the connection. That could happen to us sometime. Different things can cause our connection to the Lord to be severed. And whenever that happens, if you find yourself in a different place spiritually than you really need to be, check the connection. And if it got severed, maybe you did something, maybe trauma of some sort separated it. Our Heavenly Father, when you come to Him, is more than happy to splice you back in and make it all okay again. But being connected to the Lord is the most important thing. Reminds me of the guy that decided he wanted a bird for a pet. And he went to, some of y'all heard this story, but a lot of you now haven't, where he went to the pet store and he saw all these little birds in a big cage. There's one little bird just sitting off all by himself. Now, all the rest of the birds had these little price tags said like $5. You know, this little bird, his said $250. And the guy was wondering, he said, what's the thing about this little bird here? How come he's worth so much more than all these other look just like? He said, oh, this is a special bird. This bird can talk. He said, really? Well, that's the one I want. And he plopped down his $250 and took that bird home. And then he never could get the bird to talk. Bird wouldn't say a word. He went back the next day and he said, I want my money back. This little bird, he won't talk. And so the pet owner said, oh, is that right? I said, well, did he look in his little mirror? Because birds like company, and you just got one, so you have to have a mirror. He says, I don't have them. How much is a mirror? $5. He bought a mirror. He went back. He's back the next day. This bird doesn't talk. He said, well, did he swing on his little swing? He said, we don't have a swing. I didn't get a swing. Nobody told me about a swing. How much is a swing? $10. He said, birds got to have exercise, you know. Needs to have a little diversion in life. And then he went back home and back the next day. This bird still not talking. Well, did he climb up his little ladder? Ladder? He bought a ladder. $15. Took it home. Bird still didn't talk. He comes back the next day. He says, did he ring his little bell? No. How much is the bell? $20. Okay. He got the bell. Hey, so then he came back the next day and he said, fella, that bird died. Really? What happened? He said, well, he was sitting there and he looked in his little mirror and he gave a little bird smile and then he swang on his little swing and then he climbed up his little ladder. He rang his little bell and then he just fell off of the top of the ladder and was laying there in the bottom of the cage dead. But he did speak. I must tell you this. He spoke right before he died. And the shopkeeper said, really? What did he say? He said, the bird said, hey, fella, did they sell any bird seed at that place? You can have everything where it's supposed to be, but if you don't have the most important thing, you don't have what you're supposed to have. And so this is just it. We need to make sure and check the connection. And it's like, this is kind of like me in the Christian faith. There was a guy that he was a logger. And he kept hearing his friends talking about how much more logs they could cut with a power saw. And he was still using a hand saw. And so he decided he would get modern and he went in to the saw store and said, I'd like to buy a saw. He said, oh, I've got just the one for you. You can cut 5 trees down in 2 minutes with this power saw here. Really? So he took it off. A couple of days later, he came back and plopped that saw down and said, I want my money back. This saw doesn't work at all. It takes me 2 hours to cut down one tree with this saw. He said, oh my gosh, well, let's see what's wrong here. And he took it and he checked the oil. He checked the gasoline and everything looked in order. He pulled the crank and it just started right up. And the logger jumped back just terrified. He said, what's that noise? He didn't know he had to crank it to make it go. It's amazing they sawed down one tree in 2 hours with it, isn't it? So anyway, that was kind of like me. I knew I had everything in place. I knew all the stuff. But the connection, and I grew up in church, you know, McMahon's Chapel, oldest church in Texas. as far as held in continuous services, started back while Texas was still a part of Mexico. And my grandma would take me out to Backman's Chapel to show me my great heritage. But let me tell you, God doesn't have any grandchildren. You can have the best heritage in the world, but that doesn't get you saved. It's only Jesus Christ can do that. And so I had all the information, but I was ignorant of the most important thing. And it was shocking when I discovered what was missing. You know what was missing? The cross. What was missing was Jesus and what he did there on the cross. I discovered that you're not born connected. You have to make the connection. And so that's why we're talking today about being connected to God. So how do you do that? First of all, you turn to God instead of running from him or standing back with your arms folded and asking a whole bunch of questions. You realize you need to change your mind. We talked about this last week. Change your mind about God. You need to realize that he is for you and not against you. He's not your enemy, but he's your biggest proponent. And then after you turn toward him, you must realize that your sin separates you from him. And the only way Jesus has told us to be connected with him is through him and through his cross. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so what he's talking about is we all have to come to the cross. We all have to personally receive for our personal sin what Jesus did on that cross. You know, he lived his entire life connected to God, except for one moment when he was hanging there on the cross and he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Having that connection severed, separated from God, broke his heart. But he had to do that in order to bring wholeness and healing and salvation to the world. So he did that for you and he did it for me. But we have to personally receive, confess, and acknowledge. This is part of changing your mind. Changing your mind about your sin. And not thinking, well, God knows and all that sort of stuff. You've got to come to him and ask him to forgive you and to give you a brand new life and to submit and commit to him. And then live your life daily connected to him. Because at that moment that you do that, that's when the connection is made and the power flows and the Holy Spirit comes, washes and cleanses you from all sin. And then he's there available to help you. But you know, some people never flip the switch. They just go on about their lives, you know, after that. And so, but you've got to continue on with him. I remember when I was first getting started as a preacher, I was attending they had an evangelism workshop in the district, and I was there. A dear friend of mine was teaching it, and he started out by saying, okay, preachers, what is evangelism? And somebody said, go. Somebody else said, feed the hungry. Somebody else said, invite somebody else. And they had this, and I just stood there in amazement. I didn't stand. I was sitting. I sat there and I was so concerned. They filled that board. There was only like one spot left on the board. And so I had to speak out and I said, I've got to say something. And then you got to remember, I'm a young preacher boy. I hadn't even gotten my my degree from seminary at that point. I was a student preacher, commuting to seminary. I said, we have just covered this board with different things, but Jesus is nowhere on this board. And it got kind of quiet for a moment, and everybody kind of looked uncomfortable. And there's, well, he's just understood. You can understand Jesus out of a picture. Amen. You can understand that he died on the cross for your sins. But if you don't personally ask him into your life and receive what he offers, you've missed the connection. And so it's so important that we do that. And after you have the connection, how do you keep connected? This is so important. How do we abide? Because Jesus said, it's only those who abide in him that flourish and bear fruit. And this is one of the things that haunted me this past week. I was looking at this parable and then the parable of the soils. You know, in the parable of the soils, there's the seed that fell on stony ground, and the birds just came and ate it up, or the hard ground, and the birds just came and snatched it away. And then there was the seed that fell on the stony ground, and it sprang up, and then since it had no root, it withered and died. And then there was that fell in good soil, and it sprung forth, it flourished, and it bore fruit. And so there are those who hear the gospel and it never even takes root. There are those who hear the gospel, rejoice in it for a moment, but it never does get started. And then there are those who wind up or in the good soil. And the good soil is the soil that includes Jesus for the living of your life. And God, in these parables, if you look at them, so many times Jesus is looking for fruit. Fruit only comes when you stay connected to him. And we've talked about this last week, spiritual growth. You move on with him. How do you do that? First of all, you read the Bible. God gave it for a good reason. Read it with a desire to understand the heart of God and how to relate to him. The first time I read the Bible, I read it to get bored. I would have a hard time going to sleep at night, and I'd heard if you just read something really boring, then you'll get sleepy. And so I thought, well, there's nothing more boring than the Bible. And, you know, right there in Genesis, it started out with the begats. Begat, 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 begat. And I would just go to sleep reading the Bible. But I was reading it for the wrong reason. Now, it did get exciting after a while because I started seeing these names coming up. And it got to be like a soap opera. And you see the characters would be presented. And lo and behold, then they'd show up somewhere else. And then I began to see there was a continuity to the story. I would encourage you to read the Bible with the right heart. Now, let me show you. This is how you do it. Imagine a couple just got married. And they get home from their honeymoon. And the wife goes into their brand new house and she goes and she pulls something out of the bedroom. She brings it back to her new husband who's there in the den. And she says, I got this together for you. And it's a loose leaf notebook. It's a thick book. And on the front of it, it says, All About Me. And in this book, she started writing long, long, many years ago, talking about herself, what she loved, what she didn't like, what was important to her, her hopes, her dreams, all about her, things that nobody else knew about her. They were there in that book. And if he would read that book, he would know exactly who this person was and how to show her love the way that she would love to have it shown. Now imagine him just smiling and saying, "Thank you for this," and putting it over to one side and never opening it up. That's what a lot of people do with this book. It's gathering dust somewhere. And they're not reading it when they do read it to understand, with a heart to understand. If you read it as a book given to you by one who loves you and wants you to understand him, you'll get a whole lot more out of it. But God does say his word will not come back void. And even if you don't even understand how to read it like that, his word can still get into your heart. Several years ago, I heard of a young student in Russia. She was an atheist. She was a devout communist and strong member of the Communist Party. And she just loved ferreting out Christians and Christian gatherings and reporting them to the police. Just like, she's just kind of like Paul before he was converted. And this young college student was troubled. She had a hard time sleeping, going to sleep at night. And she never had any peace. And so her friend told her, "Well, you need to practice yoga." I said, "Okay, I'll do that." And one of the first things that she was supposed to do was find a meaningless phrase to say over and over again to distract her mind. And so just out of sarcasm and cynicism, she chose the Lord's Prayer. And so she would sit there doing her yoga stuff, saying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over again. And over a period of time, God started tugging at her heart. She started wondering, is there really a heavenly Father? A God who's like a father that really watches over us and takes care of us? And she really wanted to know. And if there was a way to get to know this Father, she wanted to. And so she started trying to find a Christian who could tell her about this. But the Christians were all scared of her. I mean, every time she'd run down a line and discover a Christian, they were tight-lipped. They didn't want to be killed or arrested. Until finally, there was one brave fellow who took her in and he told her all about Jesus, and she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And now she's one of the biggest soul winners you'll ever find in Russia. But see, she started out with the Bible saying his words over and over, but he says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So read your Bible. Read it with an open heart. Desire to understand what it says. Don't just go there trying to, like W.C. Fields, when they saw him read the Bible and they were shocked and asked him what he was doing. He said, "Looking for loopholes." That's not why you read the Bible. That's not why you do that. So now you know that. So read the Bible with a desire to understand. Then as you read it, he will reveal his heart to you. Then, we talked about this last week as well, give as much of yourself as you know to as much of God as you understand. And in giving yourself, It's not just saying a prayer and getting up and walking away. It's daily, moment by moment, day by day. A big part of that is obedience, applying those things that you full well know. In fact, James says, if you know what God wants you to do and you don't do it, it's sin. And sin separates you from God. Listen to what the Bible says, starting in Psalm 66, the 18th verse. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So if you're clinging to sin, God's not going to hear your prayers. It's Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 28:29, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Isaiah 1:15, when you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now you might be thinking, and if you're looking for loopholes and all, you'll think, well, my hands aren't filled with blood. I've never killed anybody. But if you read the Bible, you'll discover what Jesus says about anger. And he says that it's the same as murder. And so if you've ever been angry at someone without a reason to be angry, your hands are filled with blood. If you have ever hated anyone, your hands are full of blood. And so you have to, the only thing that can wash your hands is the blood of Jesus. But he can wash them and cleanse them and make it right. So anyway, and Jesus says in John 15 in the passage, just beyond what we read today, he says, if you keep my commandments, I left out one. Men, this one's for you. It's talking about wives and how men are supposed to regard their wives. It says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Listen to this, that your prayers be not hindered. If you're not looking at your wife with a heart filled with respect and honor for her, don't expect God to be answering your prayers. And ladies, I would say that goes the other way too. You can't have a good marriage without respect and honor. So that's you keep his word in your heart, and then you live out of it. And there's some things, keep short accounts with God. By keeping short accounts, whenever you know that there's a sin that's separating from you, you confess it, ask forgiveness, and you restore the connection whenever you do that, so that you can walk with him in his power and his presence and his peace once more. Then stay on your spiritual growing edge. The Lord will have projects for you. You know, we talked about the missionary or the old African goldsmith spooning the dross off of the gold. That's what I'm talking about. He'll bring something and present it to you. No matter how old you are, you still have a growing edge. John Wesley used to think that people could make it to perfection in this life. And later he changed his mind because he would see people that walked with him for a long time that still were ugly or something like that, you know. So I say, I'm talking about being mean. You know, we're always growing. But whatever you put down your little donkey heels and you refuse to work on what he's calling to your attention, then you're going to wind up losing your connection until you come back to that, confess it to Him, receive His forgiveness, and move on with Him. It might be it might be conflict. In fact, I'm going to talk about that next week. Conflict can be either it can be glue in your marriage or in your relationships with other people, or it can be a wedge that separates you and pulls you apart and pushes you apart. Conflict and how you handle it makes all the difference in the world. And if you're not handling conflict correctly and you're going away, I'll mention this again next week. You see, in marriage, if you have a fight and somebody wins, you both lose. Your marriage cannot be what it should be if you fight. Instead, you should be seeking a mutually acceptable solution to the problem. And when you do that, then you grow closer to one another because you're showing respect to each other and you're honoring one another. So just keep that in mind. So we'll talk about conflict next week. Forgiveness. Some people, even though they've walked with the Lord, they still, the Lord's calling their attention to bitterness they have in their heart. There have been people that I have forgiven for everything they ever did to me that I could recall. And then be driving along and all of a sudden one thing come back up and you realize that there was a level of that that you never dealt with and have to forgive that them specifically for that, because you can't heal and grow until you do that. Lying, lust, looking down on your spouse, not being considerate of other people, self-centeredness. Where's your growing edge? It might not have been on this list, but if the Lord has a project going for you, I encourage you, embrace it, receive it, and do what you know He wants you to do, and then it won't be sin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our closing hymn today, we're just going to sing the first verse of number 117, My Jesus, I Love Thee. And as we sing, if there are any of you who would like to join our church, we give you this opportunity. If there are any of you who realize that you've never made the connection, you've never personally appropriated the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for you, you've never done that, and you want to get started with Him, we give you this opportunity. If you'd come as we stand and sing, My Jesus, I Love Thee.